Broadcasting live for our fall fling tour, it's Starnes Country with Todd Starnes.
Good morning, Memphis. I'm Todd Starnes, and it is great to have you here in our mobile Principal Toyota Memphis studio. And today, we are really excited. We are broadcasting from a pretty cool place. It's called Cat's Sourdough and Juice Bar in Germantown, directly across the street from Germantown Baptist Church. Just a wonderful place to get fresh, homemade baked goods, all sorts of wonderful things. They have some incredible smoothies, nutritional juices, if that's your jam. There's just a lot of great stuff here at Cat's, and we're excited to be here. We have got a lot going on today on the show. Pamela Furr is going to be along in just a little while to talk politics out of Nashville. Also, Sheriff Thomas Tuggle from DeSoto County had an opportunity to join me on my Newsmax show yesterday, and it was a terrific conversation, and we're going to play some of that, as well as Senator Marsha Blackburn dropping by, and I told you it's a jam-packed show, and we're going to be talking to Jack Herman, a freshman at Rhodes College who has just launched a Young America's Foundation chapter. It's great to see conservative young people across the Mid-South being energized and getting excited, and the movement continues. So a lot going on this morning. But right now, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are so honored to have the owner of Cat Sourdough and Juice Bar joining us, Kathleen Sawyer. Kathleen, good morning. I hope you're doing well today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'll have to brag on your staff. They were here at the crack of dawn, and they are churning out bagels galore back there. So they're doing a great job this morning.
Yes, they are really, truly amazing staff. I don't know what I would do without them. They get it there at 4 a.m. every morning, and they get the show going.
Well, it takes some time to make the bagels, right? I mean, this doesn't happen just spontaneously, so there's a lot of work, but there's also a lot of craftsmanship. And, you know, we were talking to the owner of JoJo's last week, and he was going on and on and on about your pastries and the baked goods that you guys have here at Cat's.
Yes. JoJo's is amazing. They've been awesome. They actually contacted me before the bakery opened. So definitely my first wholesale client, and truly they're just amazing people, amazing, and we really love serving them.
And by the way, folks, the first five KOM listeners that come by, breakfast is on me. So that's the first five between 7 and 8 o'clock this morning. You get here to Cat Sourdough, and I'm buying your breakfast. Kathleen, let's talk about what you guys offer at Cat's, because it really is, first of all, it's a beautiful space. It's so inviting, so comforting. And you guys, it just smells amazing, by the way. I'm not sure what they're baking back there, but it smells great.
Yeah, so we offer fully fermented sourdough products. So we kind of have the juice bar and the bakery, and we are just 7 months old, still merging those two. I think we've done a good job, but it is a full-fledged bakery. Everything is made from scratch the day of, which is very unique. So with it being fully fermented sourdough, the common question about the process, yes, we do feed a starter every single day, actually twice a day. Every morning, like I said, you know, they're rolling out the dough, they're boiling the bagels, they're getting the muffins ready, the cinnamon rolls, the whole thing every morning. And then on the juice bar side, we offer fresh pressed juices, smoothies, and acai bowls. When people do come in, you know, we love to make them a bagel sandwich using our bagels, a sandwich using our bread. That's kind of the feel of what we do.
I think this is a wonderful thing. And I know they're, you know, starting a business and owning a business, you know, it's tough, you know, in any place in America, but it's also a lot of fun too. And I have to imagine it's so great. You guys have created a fun space for people to come and just hang out and have some great food.
Yeah. That's the goal. Definitely the goal was for it to be an inviting place. You know, some like exactly what you said, we wanted it to be very warm, very welcoming, but also where people can feel good about what they're eating is really important to me. not super happy with the food that's out there and available to people these days. People are starting to see, you know, hey, what's in our food? So my aim is for it to be a place where people can feel good about eating and not having to question what the ingredients are, but just know that it's very simple ingredients. It's all made from scratch, and it's something that they can feel good about.
You know, it is so funny you brought that up, and I see in all caps, I'm staring at the counter where it says organic in all caps. You know, when, you know, a lot of people, I guess really over the past 6 or 7 months now, people have been really paying attention, and I'm one of those people. You go into the supermarket and you realize, wait a second, why are there 700 ingredients in my loaf of bread? What the heck is going on here?
Exactly.
And so, yeah. So you don't have to worry about that if you're coming to Katz.
Exactly. Yep. We put our ingredients out there. They're the most basic of basic ingredients. And we prioritize, which has not been easy, by the way. That's been eye-opening to me, opening up a business on this scale, starting to work with suppliers. Even what they have access to is very limited. So it's a tough thing right now. That means me, myself, going to Costco a couple times a week, having to, you know, get ingredients from there just to keep it clean, because these big suppliers that, you know, businesses have access to, they don't even have the means to get wholesome ingredients. So it's a challenge for sure.
Well, Kathleen, we're just so excited to be able to introduce Katz Sourdough and Juice Bar to our great audience. I know they're wanting to eat healthy, they're wanting to drink healthy, and this is a great place to do it. So, Kathleen, thank you so much for welcoming us in, and we're excited to do the morning show here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, Kathleen Sawyer on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. She is the owner, the proprietor, a passionate baker, and you're going to love all of the incredible stuff. It smells so good. I wish we had smell-o-vision on the radio so you could just get an idea of what it's like here inside the juice bar and the sourdough bar right now. We are on Poplar, directly across the street from Germantown Baptist Church. So as you're making your way in from Collierville, you'll be able to scoot right in. If you're heading towards Collierville, you'll be able to scoot right in as well. We're next door to Fresh Market, so you're gonna. That's another indicator for you of where exactly Katz Sourdough and Juice Bar is. Drop by, say hello. By the way, the first 5 KWAM listeners to come in, I'm gonna buy you breakfast. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So last night on Newsmax, had an opportunity to sit down with our good friend, Sheriff Thomas Tuggle, to talk about the crime situation in the Mid-South, how things are going. By the way, this story from Channel 3, apparently a woman is very upset. The headline, half-naked woman forced out of her home by task force raid. The lady says that officers showed up at her home around 7 o'clock, and all of this is captured on video. The officers said they were looking for someone and found ICE agents. She said they had guns on her and she was scared because she was half naked. According to the homeowner, they were looking for a guy. Police say this particular man, charged with attempted murder in a weekend shooting, was arrested at a West Memphis motel. The lady claims she doesn't know the guy, and she says that as a result of the incident, she has had nonstop shivers. Well, I would recommend putting on some clothes, and maybe that would, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It is a little chilly out there. All right, let's check in with the conversation with Sheriff Thomas Tuggle. Sheriff, good to have you with us here on Newsmax this evening. I want to start out with a very simple question. What is your message to the criminals lurking about on the streets of Memphis?
Well, it's simple, sir. My message has always been the same. If you come to DeSoto County to commit a crime, we're going to hold you accountable. So there's no place for criminal activity in DeSoto County. We're going to be very aggressive to that. And we think that message has been, I guess you can say, very well displayed.
Well, no doubt the citizens of DeSoto County have to be pretty darn happy with that news. Let's take a look at some of the data from the city of Memphis. They're saying crime down now 46% since last year, murders down 40%, sexual assaults down 50%. Your reaction to those numbers?
Well, my reaction to those numbers is this. Anytime that you have an organization or several organizations that want to come in and help you fight crime, help you with improving quality of life in your community, you have to accept it. And I'm very happy to see these numbers. When we have partners and our partners work well together, especially being aggressive when it comes to crime, the entire region benefits. And this is part of that what we're benefiting from when we have our federal partners, along with our state partners, along with our municipal partners, working together. And that's why crime is down. And we're benefiting from it.
Sheriff, when you look at the population of DeSoto County, it's nearing 200,000. So that's a pretty good size area, a big population. What's different? What are you guys doing different that wasn't being done on the other side of the state line?
Well, one of the things that we've done is we've been in contact with our community. And, you know, I've said this, Todd, several times, the number one crime fighting tool we, and that's talking about law enforcement, we have is public trust. And if our community trusts us, they'll pick the phone up. And we both know that a simple phone call have solved some of the most complex crimes in history. And we're benefiting from that trust. And that's why we're able to be proactive when it comes to addressing crime, mentoring our kids and putting like a bulletproof vest around them. So if someone tries to pull them into a life of crime, they can look and say, hey, that's not what the sheriff said we should do. And they walk away. So all of those things are working well for us.
I love to hear that. I know that you guys have really been proactive and trying to introduce programs to help these young people who might be at risk make sure they're following the straight and narrow.
Yes, sir. That is exactly right. And that's something I talked about on the campaign trail is getting into the schools and talking to these kids, because a lot of them are coming from, you know, broken homes, coming from, you know, issues where they don't have a lot of positive role models. And we've got people in the community. We've got church organizations, civic organizations that have decided to jump on board and help us mentor some of these at-risk students. And it's working for us. I was just at an elementary school in Hernando, 250 first graders. And after that conversation, I asked these kids, I said, so if, you know, you're confronted by a bully, what are you going to do? And it was everybody in the whole room said, we're going to walk away, because if you walk away, the bully doesn't have a platform. So those things are working now. So we won't really see the benefits of this probably 5-6 years down the road, but we have to start somewhere.
And yet there's been a lot of pushback from left-wing activists, even the county mayor, Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris, is enraged over this. They filed a lawsuit. I want us to listen to this this audio from Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, because they're dealing with the same issues we are here in the Memphis area. Let's watch this.
No one is going to convince me what the Trump administration is doing against black people and brown people can ever be justified. It is racist.
Sheriff, how do you respond to that? Is it racist what's happening in Memphis right now?
Absolutely not, sir. I will say this, sir. We can't control what happens outside of our borders, but we can control what happens inside of our borders, and that is protecting our citizens. And I will say this here, and I'm going to be strong when I say it. You know, you commit a crime in DeSoto County, our county line or our county borders will not stop us in the pursuit of justice. So when you start talking about race, I've had more people in this community that look like me that are calling us to say, Sheriff, thank you for being proactive and thank you for being so aggressive when it comes to crime fighting. Nobody wants to live in a community where they feel threatened and they don't feel safe going by their daily activities. Oh, that's not happening in our county, and we're not going to allow it to happen in our county. So don't bring the race thing into this. Race has nothing to do with it. When people use race, all it is their inability to deal with conflict resolution.
And that was a bit of our conversation with DeSoto County Sheriff Thomas Tuggle. And we're going to take a quick break here. Again, we are broadcasting from Canned Sourdough and Juice Bar in Germantown, directly across from Germantown Baptist Church on Poplar. First, 5 KWAM listeners to drop by, get a free breakfast, courtesy of me. I'm buying your breakfast this morning, folks. So drop on by from between 7 and 8 o'clock. Let's check in now with KWAM Sports Director Parker May. And 25 minutes past the hour. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. This is Starnes Country. We're in the Mobile Principal Toyota Memphis studio, broadcasting from Cat Sourdough and Juice Bar. We are directly across the street from Germantown Baptist Church. And may I just say, you haven't seen a sunrise until you've seen the sunrise over that beautiful steeple on Germantown Baptist Church. What a beautiful day out here in the Mid-South, and we'd love for you to come by and be a part of it. Hey, I want to play a bit of an interview, and you'll be able to hear the whole thing over at kwamradio.com. We were excited to have Jack Herman joining us. He is a freshman at Rhodes College starting the Young America's Foundation chapter, a conservative organization. Let's take a listen to that interview. Jack, good to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is exciting because I don't know if you know this or not, but Rhodes sort of leans just a smidge to the left. And now we understand there's a TPUSA chapter, there's a College Republican Club, and you guys are kicking it with the YAF chapter there.
Yes, sir. It's been great to see a new resurgence of conservatism on campus.
So you're a freshman at Rhodes, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And originally, you got it. We have a lot of listeners across northern Georgia, and so you got to give a shout out to the good people back home.
Yes, Cumming, Georgia, and Forsyth County. That's where I'm from originally. It's a great, beautiful area,
and home to a lot of conservatives, by the way.
Yes, sir. It's a pretty red area. It's a great place to be.
So, what was it about politics? How early did you start getting involved in politics, and what made you decide, you know what, I agree with a lot of the conservative values?
Yeah. So, my sister really kicked off politics for me. She started a conservative club at my high school, which is something that I was engaged in, and that kind of made me realize what kind of views that I sided with, and that. That kind of is what led me to start the YAF chapter at Rhodes.
So you started the YAF chapter. What's that experience been like talking to other students and sharing your viewpoint? Because a lot of kids don't want to do that these days because of the blowback they get.
Yeah, it's been great to find people that think the same way as me. But on the same side, there has been backlash by not only students, but also faculty, which is just something that we kind of have to work through as we engage in some new conversations on campus.
And fair enough. What kind of blowback from the faculty? I'm curious.
So although they are just rumors, I've heard that the faculty has kind of not been very happy with the start of the new conservative movement on campus. They've been trying to get the names of students and things like that. They're just not very happy with, I guess, other viewpoints.
I'll tell you what, and here's the deal, and this is how we do things on this program. You guys ever get any blowback, any student ever gets outed as a conservative, we'll take care of that for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're not going to tolerate that here. I will say, though, you've generated a lot of excitement among the alumni from years past. They're so excited that there now is finally conservative voices on the campus.
Yeah, it's been great to hear that the alumni are excited. I think that the college as a whole has definitely been more left-leaning, I don't know, historically, but that's what I've noticed since I've been there. So it's been nice to hear that I have support.
What's been the mood and the attitude since Charlie Kirk's assassination? You know, it feels like it's been so long ago, but it's, you know, just been over a month and a half now since that happened.
Yeah, I think that was really the starting point of all of this. After Charlie Kirk was killed, there was some things that were being said around campus, some rumors that just didn't sit right with me. And I think of other conservative students, and I think that it was time to start a movement, start some talks about getting some conservative voices out there and really standing up for what we believe in.
If you would like to hear more about this great interview, go to kwamradio.com. You'll be able to watch the entire interview. Hang tight. We'll be right back. All right, and by the way, happy Halloween, everybody. A lot happening across the Mid-South, and hope you guys have a great evening of trick-or-treating. By the way, we need to know the coolest neighborhoods, the best neighborhoods for trick-or-treating. Which neighborhoods give the best candy? We got a call yesterday from Justin in Collierville who said folks come all the way from Memphis over to Collierville just to go trick-or-treating in their neighborhood. So that tells me they're not giving away the circus peanuts. They're giving away buying the full-size Snickers bars, and that's always a great thing. So give us a call if you have a recommendation for where to get some pretty darn good trick-or-treating candy. Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And again, we are broadcasting this morning from Cat Sourdough and Juice Bar in Germantown on Poplar, directly across the street from Germantown Baptist Church. Folks, if we just had Smell-O-Vision on the radio, you would fall out. It is incredible. The homemade bagels, all the baked goods, you're going to be able to get it here along with some great nutritional juices and smoothies as well. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friends from Americans for Prosperity Tennessee, Pamela Furr in Nashville. Pamela, hope you're doing well. Are you, Pamela, do you do the whole dress up and for the Halloween?
You know, I used to, but I would say in the last 3 years or so, I haven't really. My last costume, though, was I bought a big Moo Moo type house coat and a Hillary Clinton mask. And
when Hillary Clinton. No, you did not.
Yes. Yep. Sure did.
I have a very inappropriate joke about that, and I'll have to share it with you off the air. I don't want to make people at Cats, and I don't want to make people at the juice bar blush this morning. Pamela, you know, it is funny, though. If I'm out trick-or-treating with, you know, tomorrow the stamp benefits run out, I'm not asking for the Zag Nuts or the Hershey bars. I'm like, hey, you got some Martha White flour in there? How about a sack of beans?
Can I add some sugar, please?
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. You know, this is, you know, people are really freaking out about this. And yeah. I know in Memphis, they've announced, and this is interesting, they announced $500,000 that the city is going to be using our tax dollars to give to people so they can get food and things of that nature. Here's the funny part about it, Pamela. There's $100,000 of that is the administrative cost.
Of course it is. You'd think they would just kind of waive that cost, you know, in the time of so-called crisis. Now I said that sarcastically. Look, I know that there are people that do need assistance, and I understand that. But, Todd, there are 40 million people who are across the country who receive SNAP benefits. That's our tax dollars going to feed 40 million people. I have a hard time believing that there are 40 million people that truly need food assistance. I really do. I don't know about where you stand on that, but it just seems a little odd. And some of the posts that I've seen over the last week of people freaking out, and I'm thinking, you know, you could sell your iPhone and eat for probably a good month or two. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm having a hard time believing that many people in 2025 need food assistance. But the good news is there are charities all around the state that have set up programs that people can tap into. Even the governor has posted a website, feedtennessee.org, where various charities across the state have partnered with the government, if you will, to let people know that there are places they can go to get food if, and it looks like it's going to happen, if the government doesn't decide to vote to fund the SNAP program.
You know, and again, we're talking to Pamela Furr, Americans for Prosperity Tennessee, this morning on the Mighty 990. You know, Pamela, when you do look at the shutdown and the impact it's having, I mean, at some point, and there are calls now, you know, the president saying we've got to pull the nuclear option, do away with the filibuster. I don't know if that's necessarily a good idea. I'm not agreeing with the president on this because, again, you know, if the Democrats could do the same thing the Republicans are doing if they go down that path. But again, to your point, though, when you actually look at the numbers of people that are on government assistance, and there are able-bodied people, and the whole point of government assistance is to lend a helping hand. It's not for a generational thing, and that's the big issue.
That's the issue, and that is what we've done is that we've trained generations to believe that the government is there for to support them for these kinds of things. And that's just not, you know, you're supposed to support yourself. And when you are in a position where you cannot, that's when the government can help, but it's not supposed to be a permanent thing. It was never meant to be a permanent thing, I don't believe. You know, so it's the catch-22. I'm not in total agreement, obviously, with the shutdown, but I do appreciate the light that it's shining on how we're misspending taxpayer dollars.
A 1,000% accurate. And again, I just, you know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad was an electrician, blue collar worker, and, you know, he got laid off from his job and times were tough. And so we had to cut back. And that meant not being able to go to McDonald's or not being able to go out to eat or, you know, go down to play putt-putt golf. You know, you had to economize, which was a thing back in the day. You lived within your means. And I just do not see that happening in this generation. And my philosophy is this: if you are able-bodied enough to post a TikTok video, then you're able-bodied enough to get off your butt and go to work.
Yes, absolutely. And if you can't find a job, which I have a hard time believing that as well, there are plenty of jobs out there. It may not be your most favorite job, but at least you can provide for your family or for yourself without begging for money from the government. But I would say, you mentioned, you know, your father. I don't recall a time when my father was ever laid off, but he always had a side hustle. You know what I mean? So he was making extra money on Saturdays chopping wood. No joke. He would go to the woods, chop down trees, sell that firewood. You know, he would. We lived in North Carolina, so pine straw was a major thing for landscaping. So we had tons of pine trees on our property. So he would rake up that pine straw and sell it. You know what? So there was always a side hustle so that he knew no matter what happened, he could provide for his family. And I'm very grateful for that mentality. And I think it's because he grew up in the Depression era, the same with my mother, that there was always that fear of not being able to eat or not being able to provide. And so that gave them the work ethic, if you will, to always be prepared in case something happened like that. And we haven't taught our younger generation or the last several generations that kind of thing. Instead, like we just talked about a minute ago, they have learned that, hey, the government's going to send me money, so I'm going to just take it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah.
All right. Pamela, first, switching gears here, have you seen, I mean, since you're there in Nashville, have you seen the new Rescue 911 Nashville TV show?
Okay. I have not, and I'm going to tell you why I haven't watched it. I hate these TV shows that come from, Nashville, that display Nashville in a way that is a joke, that it's not authentic. So I have not taken the time to watch this one, but I have heard the absolute worst reviews. So I thought
it's
about
so bad.
Weekend, watching a couple of them just to see for myself. But yeah, I hear it's just
okay.
Awful.
So a couple of things, because this is a big deal, Pamela. First of all, you're telling me that most Nashville firefighters were not previously male stripper dancers who, like, brought back to life bridesmaids who crashed in that little big, what do they call that bicycle thing they all ride around in?
The pedal tavern.
Yes. So you're telling me that that doesn't happen on a regular basis in downtown Nashville?
Now, they do pass out quite often. But
I believe that.
It's not a stripper-looking firefighter that's bringing them back to life. It's the hard-working firefighters who's sick to death of bringing these drunk bachelorettes.
So the only reason I'm bringing this up is because we have a bit of exciting news to share. You know, Aiden Pettit, who's one of our own here, he does our entertainment report, a student at Belmont. He made his TV acting debut as a dead body this week on National Rescue 911. And he told
awesome.
Me we're going to get him on the show next week because he told me it was very difficult, you know, being a dead body. And so I can't wait to hear the story.
That's very difficult, huh? That is interesting. No,
who would
have
thought?
I mean, good for him, you know, and I know several people who are extras in this show, but there is a perpetual citywide emergency in Nashville. That's just not the case.
Yeah.
We don't have those kinds of colossal emergencies on the regular here.
I love it. Well, Pamela, I'm glad to hear that. Look, happy. Do you give out candy in the neighborhood, that kind of stuff?
Yes.
You gotta do that.
I've got the Reese's peanut butter cups, which are my favorite. Because if by chance I have leftovers, I want to eat them.
Oh, that's the jam right there. All right, the kids are gonna love you. Yeah, your house will not get rolled tonight. All right, Pamela Furr, great hearing from you, my friends.
Thank you, and happy Halloween.
All right, happy Halloween, Pamela. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. I told you, we're going to get Aiden on the show next week. He's going to give us the lowdown on what happened on Rescue 911. In the meantime, Aiden is standing by with a look at what's happening this weekend. Well, it's an absolutely beautiful morning here in Germantown. We are broadcasting live from Cat Sourdough and Juice Bar, directly across the street from Germantown Baptist Church, right next door to Fresh Market. You're going to want to come on by and check out some of the incredible home-baked goods here, all sorts of wonderful pastries and bagels, as well as smoothies. So come on by Cat Sourdough and Juice Bar, and you'll also be able to say hello to us here on the Mighty 990. All right. We had a chance to chat with Senator Marsha Blackburn, running for governor. Here's that conversation.
Senator Blackburn, always good to have you on the show.
Well, it is good to be with you. And yes, indeed, what we have learned is that Chris Ray wrote a memo in April 4th of 22. And the next day, Lisa Monaco, the deputy attorney general under Joe Biden, and Merrick Garland, the attorney general, signed off on this memo. And that put the wheels in place for Arctic Frost and the hiring of Jack Smith to be the special counsel. Now, the memo, which we have on all of our social media and website, is just one of these things of, we think possibly, maybe, could have been, we ought to look at this, we could allege this or allege that. In other words, it was a Class A high-end weaponization of DOJ and a complete fishing expedition because they wanted to just rip apart President Donald Trump. So they were looking for people that support President Trump. And, of course, the 9 senators that were surveilled, they all Republican, all support President Trump, and each and every one of us had valid questions about the outcomes of the 2020 election.
Senator, I'm just, it's just staggering to know that they would have the audacity, I mean, to go after Republican members of Congress, literally respected, you know, lawmakers, without any shred of evidence. So they can do that? Can they actually go in and just go fishing like that?
Well, they're not supposed to. It's a criminal act. It's a violation of our First and Fourth Amendment. It's a violation of the separation of powers, of the Stored Communication Act, and it's a violation of the Speech and Debate Clause. And indeed, what they did was to go in and pull all of this. We found out that they worked with this leftist judge, Judge Boasberg, and they got 197 subpoenas. See, they got a subpoena on our phone records and sent that to our wireless carrier, minus Verizon. Verizon never moved to challenge or to quash the subpoena. AT&T did, and they did not comply. But Judge Boasberg is such a leftist. he not only did the subpoena, but he laid a non-disclosure order on top of the subpoena that said, hey, by the way, for a year, you can't tell these senators about this because we think that they may destroy evidence, or they may tamper with evidence, or they may try to intimidate witnesses, which, of course, is just, it is so over the top, Todd, but think about this. If they're doing this to U.S. senators, what are they doing to conservatives all across this country?
Absolutely. It's a great question. Senator Ron Johnson in that press conference called this nothing short of a Biden administration enemies list. Is that a good way to describe this?
We do look at it as this, because they went after 430 individuals and organizations combined with 197 different subpoenas. And Judge Boasberg was in the tank with them on this every step of the way.
Do we know what they were looking for and what information they were able to glean from all of this? And are you guys going to be able to find out? And I think, you know, again, it's not just you guys, but groups like Fox News, Newsmax, Laura Trump, Turning Point USA. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of Republicans were targeted here.
Yeah, we think that what they were doing was, they later in August of 23, they indicted President Trump on conspiracy charges. So we know that. And we think that they were looking for people that would have been obstructionists or co-conspirators, and they thought they were going to get away with this. They thought this was a way to put President Trump in prison and to end the conservative movement. But you know what? Donald Trump won, and now we have Kash Patel and Pam Bondi, and we are finding out what they were up to. And it is clearly illegal. Now, I've already sent a letter over to DOJ. My colleagues joined me on it. And it calls for Jack Smith and the attorneys that were working with him to be referred to the Office of Professional Conduct over at the DOJ. This will give a predicate, if you will, for moving forward to get Jack Smith disbarred.
All right, and that was just a bit of our interview with Senator Marsha Blackburn. You can go to my website, toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to listen to that entire interview. Well, it has been a great morning here at Kent Sourdough and Juice Bar in Germantown. We want you to come out here and support a locally owned small business that is doing some great work for the community. We will see you back at 11 o'clock right here on the Mighty 990. Have a great weekend. Have a safe and happy Halloween, everybody.